Blog Talk Radio.
Show tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Don Allen, and over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Don, I can't complain. We're, you know, March Madness is upon us. High school tournament is over. The NCAA starts tomorrow. The NIT has already started. And I just have to say, the Minnesota Gophers men's basketball team did make either show. And I have to say, you know, by the way, for our listening audience, my co-host, Mr. Allen, is not much of a sports fan. But the Gophers were the defending champion in the NIT, that's the National Invitational Tournament. And even though they finished 18-15, which, you know, is above 500, you know, they did not get an invite. That shows you how bad this team was. That means they were outside of the top 100 teams in Division I, you know. Man, I tell you, and they put all that blame on poor Tubby Smith. But anyways, March Madness is here, brother, so that's what most people are probably talking about and thinking about. And I got to tell you, a little later on, I'm going to get into our community, man, is making a lot of money, boy. You know, we've actually been wrong in saying that things aren't happening. But we'll get into that later on when we talk about Star Tribune. What we got? What are we starting off with, man? What's it look like?
Well, Mr. Edwards, I was tickled today. I was tickled. I got an alert from Fox 9 News, and the title was DFL Bill would spend $200,000 to help African-Americans quit menthol cigarettes. I said, oh, my Lord. Then I looked at the bill authored by Senators Bobby Joe Champion, both DFL and Jeff Hayden, to evaluate and develop strategies to address menthol-flavored cigarette uses in the African-American community.
Now, so, are those called e-cigarettes? Because I've never been a smoker.
No, they're talking about regular menthol cigarettes, doing a study to help African-Americans quit menthol cigarettes, not e-cigarettes. E-cigarettes are vapor.
I'm really confused now about what that study here in Minnesota, because that was the study that actually was done by the Council on Black Minnesotans and the executive director of that specific program. It was called the African American Cigarette Settlement Program. In fact, it was under former council member Natalie Johnson Lee. And the Cerisi law firm, who was the lead attorney in that billion-dollar lawsuit against the tobacco industry, did set aside a nice piece of money for the African-American community. And one of the features of that was to do that kind of study. So why not just dust that study off? In fact, I'll tell you what. They had a small office, as well as Ms. Johnson Lee's office was over at the where the Council on Black Minnesotans was located back then, and they had a small auxiliary office in the Minneapolis Urban League. Now,
yes,
are you telling me that we're talking about another study?
We're talking about another study, and Mr. Edwards, I wasn't saying it. I didn't say anything to you in the production meeting because I was hoping that you pull that out of your hat. This is exactly correct. $200,000 that Bobby Senator Champion and Hayden want to allocate for this cigarette study, one that's been duplicated, there's no gap for them to fit in to say anything else different. We know it's smoking cigarettes, menthol cigarettes, especially with all the carcinogens and chemicals, it's bad for everybody, not just black people. But this is kind of like a white politician saying that he's going to ban mud flaps on pickup trucks for white
people. Well, now, did you and others remember that the Cerisi law firm had had allocated a significant amount of money to the so-called African-American Tobacco Fund, and that former, as I said before, former council member Natalie Johnson Lee was the director for about 4 or 5 years. And what happened was, unfortunately, Blue Cross Blue Shield became very disenchanted with the record keeping and et cetera, and what they basically did is pulled out, and the money was transferred. And I imagine you may have heard some of this over at the Council on Black Minnesotans, and the money was transferred actually from under their custody and control. That's how the Heritage Committee came into play. The Legacy Committee came into play, or whatever it was called. But, okay, so we're going to have another study. Okay, could we, you know, if she's listening in, by the way, we would certainly welcome Natalie Johnson Lee to join us, if you will, and talk a little bit about her recollection of that kind of study. And in fact, I remember they were doing surveys in 2006 and 2005 at the Urban League, asking people those same questions. Wow, that's a mind blower, Don.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, and it's really funny because I'm looking at this and I'm saying, wow, these guys are totally out of touch with the community, or Mr. Edwards. They have been sent on this mission because they're irrelevant in any area that would make a difference at the state capitol. And number two, who would get the money to do the research? Who is qualified that they know? Certainly not CSI, okay?
Yeah.
Certainly not Community Action Minneapolis. So where is this money really going to go?
Well, let me ask this. Did Channel 9, who kind of booked this story, I guess, along with maybe the council, has Channel 9 indicated, is there anything on their website where they have uncovered who the two senators are looking at as the prime contractor? I mean, is there anything?
We want to be fair and
transparent.
Yes, we do. Yeah, I am there right now. I do not see. I have the actual – it's Senate File 1836, Menthol Cigarette Study in the African American Community. Appropriation for fiscal year 2016 from the General Fund to the Commissioner of Health to conduct community-based evaluations and recommendations. This is a one-time appropriation. So I guess this would go to the Minnesota Department of Health to keep and maintain jobs.
Well,
for
Don, I hate to cut in, but see, I well remember this whole scenario very well. And the Department of Health has a copy of the original study that was paid for by the tobacco settlement money. Boy, that was, you know, I mean, Cerise and them went out. That's how Cerise's law firm just exploded onto the scene. I mean, they won a $1 billion settlement. And they did do a nice turn for the African-American community, and that's how Natalie Johnson Lee became the director of that program for about 4 years. Wow. Again, let's get the phone number. Maybe there's a couple people out there that remember the study and remembers the African-American Tobacco Trust Fund. That's the full and proper name. And also some of the research done by Blue Shield Blue Cross. I mean, come on, folks. You know, geez, this has already been done. But I don't know. Maybe there's some scientific data out there, Don, that says that something has changed. I don't know. Maybe the content of cigarettes, or, you know, their physical structure or something. I mean, I'm just trying to get a feel why we would repeat this again. So Channel 9 has not indicated who they think is in line. Oh, I'm sorry. The health department, the Minnesota Department of Health. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. That was it.
So they're
going
to hire some black folk to do the survey?
No, Ms. Edwards, you know the Minnesota Department of Health has rarely a black face in there. And it's
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah, middle-aged Caucasian women that are – it's hilarious. It's hilarious, Mr. Edwards. They get in these groups and these functions, and a couple of them start tearing up because they are helping the Negroes so well. And, oh, this is so wonderful, this gathering.
Kind of like the Florence Nightingale doctrine, right? And Albert Schweitzer.
Yeah,
okay, coming out of the hot, steamy jungles of the Belgian Congo. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Give them a phone number, Don. Maybe someone may want to call in and enlighten us on this proposal. Give our number there.
Sure, that number is 347. 426-3904. Someone's calling me, Mr. Edwards. That number is 347-426-3904. 3904. The phone lines are wide open. If you have any comments, concerns, questions about this ridiculousness, we'll go ahead and take your calls. Stand by, Mr. Edwards. We have a call.
Caller, oh, let's get the caller in. Okay.
Live on air. What's your name and where are you calling from? Okay, you must want to be in the queue. Yeah, you
oh,
go ahead.
Okay. We're really reaching out to our good friend, former council member Natalie Johnson Lee, who, as we said before, was the manager of the African American Tobacco Trust Fund for about 4 years, maybe
yeah.
five. And I bet you Natalie has a copy of the different research studies that were done as the money was being awarded in the community based on the terms and conditions of the settlement with the tobacco industry. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Phone lines are open, though. Phone lines are open. Anyone has any questions on this before we move on to some other items tonight, Mr. Allen? But anything else in your observations about this proposed bill? And give us the House file, the Senate file number again. What was it, 18 what?
The Senate file number is 1836.
All right, then. Yeah. Senate file 1836. Okay, so... Yeah, so that's some about $200,000 for the Minnesota Department of Health to study the effects. Well, let's just be candid with to study the effects of cigarettes on African Americans.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I know Blue Cross Blue Shield would be real interested in that, man. But want to just give a couple more minutes in case anybody's listening wants to you know rather than just go into the queue just. Pick up the phone, give us their thoughts and reflections. Maybe we have somebody who participated, Mr. Allen, in
yeah.
that study almost. Oh, my God, you realize it was almost 10 years ago?
Yes, it was.
Boy, time flies. I tell you, time flies. But, yeah, well, I imagine they have the votes in the Senate to pass it, and the Minnesota Department of Health will probably announce that they are getting ready to do this. They'll probably have a black face, I assume, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A black face to put onto the study that will come out and meet in the community and talk about the study, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Minnesota African American Tobacco Education Network, MATED.
Yes, I know. You called it up on your computer. That's
yeah,
it. Repeat it again, please, Don. What the name of the program was under the auspices at that time of the Council on Black Minnesota.
Yeah, and for 3 years, 2008 to 2011, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota and Blue Cross contracted with the African American Health Alliance, the AAAHA, formerly Minnesota African American Tobacco Education Network, MATEN, MAATEN, and its fiscal agent, the Council on Black Minnesotans, to address tobacco obesity disparities. And obesity disparities in African-American and African-American communities. The most recent contract of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota ended on December 31st, 2011. This is when Lister Collins was in charge. In early January 2012, Blue Cross came concerned about the validity of the information received from the study. At year-end, Blue Cross routinely requested contractors supplied estimates of outstanding expenses that contractors have not yet invoiced. The estimate provided by AAHA was about four times the amount typically invoiced each month. In addition, Blue Cross learned that the state investigation of the Council of Black Minnesotans in 2011 found misuse of funds which resulted in determination of the executive
yeah,
director.
Yeah, there we go, Don.
Events in combination with concerns over the fiscal stewardship of the Blue Cross contract dollars prompted Blue Cross to stop activity with the program and conduct its audit, which resulted in the contract being terminated.
And it included in that what you're reading from on the computer are the names of the two directors of the program. There was a woman before my good friend Natalie Johnson Lee was appointed director. She had been there maybe about a year, and she was quietly extricated, if you will. So that information should be in there too. Yeah.
And the council,
who the personnel and staff was. Yeah. Yeah.
Appropriated total was $325,000, and one grant totaled $250,000, and in 2006 and amended in 2008 totaled about $481,000. And I am looking for it says that the record indicates that Council Executive Director Lester Collins is responsible for enduring all the council-related expenditures, complied with Senate policies and procedures. And you know what, Mr. Edwards? I am scared. this rather quickly, but I am not seeing anybody's name on this except Mr. Cummings.
Yeah, well, if you scan because the original name of it, as I said before, was the African American Tobacco Trust Fund. And then it was the Council on Black Minnesotans was contracted with personnel, was hired to run things out of the office and et cetera. You know, if you go to Blue Cross Blue Shield and know how to tap into their Pacific website on the issue of tobacco research, you'll see their investigation of how the money was spent and then their severance of the relationship. But, hey, I just thought people knew that history, but I don't know, maybe people forgot it because, wow, we don't even have a history museum here, so I guess people get short memories.
Well,
we don't have any calls, Don, but that's a piece of information there that helps you pull up there so that when people say that we just made something up, there it is. Where did you pull that off of, the State of Minnesota's Department of Health or Blue Cross Blue Shield?
That was on the archive of the Minnesota State Legislature, document 2012, mandate 121238.pdf.
Yeah, 2012, right. So they've been sitting around since 2012 waiting to propose some legislation to do another research and study, yeah. But the Minnesota Department of Health has a copy of the study and as well as the allocation and appropriation of monies out of the African-American Tobacco Trust Fund, you know. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, maybe Channel 9 will do a little bit more in-depth examination. Maybe we can invite some of the principals back in those days to come on and talk to us a little bit about the original study. Yeah. Well, what else we got, Don? God dang me. I understand people are concerned. An article in this morning's edition, Minneapolis Star Tribune, what the heck is going on there? Talking about the stadium.
Yeah, the stadium's not just one stadium, Mr. Edwards. There seems to be a trickle effect to a lot of the stadiums and what's going on. And a number of black folks actually employed, gainfully employed. And so there seems
to be... Well, let me say this. You know that numbers have been produced by supporters of Mr. King in the last 10 or 12 hours. And maybe we could get Mr. Tuttle to call and help verify these numbers. There are numbers coming from the Black Ecumenical Community and supporters of Mr. King. And these are numbers we've been asking about for a long time. These are numbers that Mr. Lawrence, as an example, apparently did not have access to. Are you aware of the latest information flow here in the last 10 hours?
No, I am not aware. I was trying to figure out, you know, what was going on because everybody was hysterical on social media and wondering what was happening. And there's been some things posted in different places. I know that the actual Star Tribune purposely left the comment section open. And people have really been extra vicious.
We have a responsibility as journalists, and certainly it looks like we probably will, you know, welcome anybody that wants to call in. But let me just identify some of the postings, which now become, you know, like legal tenor. A statement has been made that that Thor Construction, as an example, has already taken down $25 million as it pertains to payments on the stadium. Okay.
Okay.
$25 million. Also, one of the ministers indicated how many people are working, and this ministerial organization has indicated that African Americans have made. Want to get the numbers right here. $2,595,840, not including benefits for the. And this is. Kind of interesting for the 800 black folk that work around the stadium. I think they were trying to say that there are 43 million hours that have been worked, or you know, maybe they meant to say 43,000 hours. But this is being posted by supporters of and I know you must be getting some text messages about now. But we'd like to, you know, have additional clarification. We would hope that that information will be printed, that they will turn that information. I understand they're saying that they're turning that information over to the Star Tribune. And Mr. King has indicated that minorities in through January 31st, 2015 have accounted for, oh yeah, see there's some problem there, have accounted for, well, for 312,114 work hours of the 935,600 total. So African Americans have accounted for 312,000. I assume that's not dollars, those work hours, because don't you remember the hours have changed. He goes on to say that that total, the total project hours are 33.3% of the total that have been worked. So we have a one of the ministers giving out the actual dollar amount. You know, Don, I'd sure like to get Mr. Tittle, the director of diversity for the big, powerful sports facility, to just verify these numbers for us.
Okay.
I think that'd be a nice, you know, we could get clarification and et cetera. By the way, boy, my phone's like yours. It's about to go off the hook here, man. Someone has said to me that $43 million was what he claims the 800 minorities workers are making. Oh my God, it's now up to $43 million, including benefits.
I'm sorry.
This has been posted by leadership of our community in the last 8, 9, or 10 hours, Mr. Allen.
Well, I'm going to
ask you. Could I ask this of us? Could we send a text message to Mr. Tittle and ask him could he join us?
Yeah,
I know he has to get permission from Ted Mondale and Michelle, but here are the numbers. The numbers are being put forward by individuals who have contracts with the Sports Facility Authority, and apparently they are releasing that information. I'm being told now by teletype that that information has been given to the editorial board of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and the Star will, I guess, print these numbers in the next 48 hours.
Okay, but here goes my question, Mr. Everett.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't the Star Tribune get that information from the beginning?
You know, I don't know. That's why I'm saying because I know that you would have the number for him. That's why we're asking Mr. Tittle, you know, to join us. I know we're only going for an hour, but I know if we ask for a special dispensation, if you will, that our network will allow us some additional time. I'd certainly like for Mr. Tittle to join us immediately and clarify this. I know it's an evening. He probably maybe is having dinner with his family or et cetera, but, I mean, here it is. The numbers which apparently have been now given to the Minneapolis Star Tribune are now on record, my brother. They're on record, man. The numbers are right here. Enormous numbers. Yes, sir. You know, I mean, this indicates a significant economic windfall for our community.
Okay.
Go ahead. I know you're probably getting some text messages.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the state of the stadium sent to me about less than a month ago. It says as of December 2014, and I'm going to write this down, Mr. Edwards, because people don't think we edumacated around here, but we're going to do the math. And
sure.
We're going to prove, if I can find a pen, we're going to prove beyond a reasonable, I'm going to use a magic marker, beyond a reasonable doubt, I have a big pink magic marker in my hand. It says,
okay,
and I got my calculator. It says, as of December 2014, workers have performed 734,000. And we're just going to make that 735 hours of work. And that's going to be H. It could be my H. 735,000 is H of work.
Uh-huh.
By 280,000. 0.6. So we're going to say 280,000.
Hours.
No, that's That's the number of hours of work. 280,000 of those 734,000, 280,000 were done by minorities.
Which comes out to the numerical number of warm bodies, according to one of our leading ministers, to 800 black people, according to their posting about 10 hours ago. And I repeat that again, 800. Now, someone said to me that this was a statement that initially was made by Michelle Hagelin, Calm Hagelin. The chairwoman of the powerful, and I imagine she was certainly supported by the only African American on the five-member committee, Ms. Williams. But I mean, we now have documentation and numbers that are being spread around, if you will. And so all we're asking now, because we have the technical expertise and et cetera, we're asking that get clarification and authentication from Mr. Tittle, because man, this has been a tremendous windfall for the African American community.
Okay,
yes, sir.
I do the math, Mr. Edwards.
That's why I was allowing you to do that. Go ahead, Don. What do you have?
From those numbers, there's been 88 minorities, and that includes women and blacks.
But one of the ministers said today, and that's not the number. They gave the same number that was in the Star Tribune this morning, so the Star Tribune's got to make a correction according to the Ministerial Alliance and group. Said that comes out to $5,300 per individual, if you will.
No, let me get back here. I got to get back.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's based on the $300,000 that was paid to train them. Okay. But now we have information coming that is now on the public record. We have all kinds of people. And many of you are out there. Pick up your phone. Feel free to call. Because you've been looking at the information for the last 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 hours on your computer, that these declarations are being made by leadership within the community. And the numbers are awesome. I mean, I have to tell you, you know, at one point we have $2.5 million in salaries and benefits, according to one of the statements. Okay. And I assume that can be absolutely confirmed and authenticated and certified. And Mr. Tittle is the man at this point, the man of the hour.
3 plus 69 plus these, Mr. Edwards, I'm sorry, but these numbers.
You're saying, Don, as I'm watching you over the studio, you're saying that the numbers don't match up? Oh, come on. It couldn't be.
No, these numbers and these graphs, I'm looking at the state of the stadium, and I'm doing some kind of, I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to figure out, they said more than $29.7 million has been paid to these workers. So that's 280,000 plus, that's minorities, that's women and, well, that's minorities. And then 69,000 plus, which is by women, and an unbelievable number of veterans, 35,000. So that's 384,000.
Mr. Allen, I don't want to dispute my colleague, but I'm saying that leadership in our community posted about 10 hours and 10 minutes ago declarations that Mr. King had facilitated $2,595,840, rounded off basically $2.6 million. And the minister goes on to say this does not include benefits for the 800 black folk that work is around. And then I think there was some confusion with what he is. But see, we have people out there right now, Mr. Allen, that have been reading this information in preparation for listening to this show and our guests. Listening to us stumble and fumble through, but that's not the way that it's happening right now. I mean, we have to understand this is information that comes from individuals that have been meeting with Mr. Tittle, Mr. Mondale, and Ms. Helm Caglin, and they're now indicating these are the numbers. Now, I'm like you. I don't know why the Star Tribune did not print these numbers, but I'm being shown I'm being shown technical or electronic documentation that says that this information has been sent to the editorial board of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and I guess a corrective column will be forthcoming. Are you hearing anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking. Someone sent me a text that a friend of mine is a math person, and he added up the 280,000 hours by minorities, the 69,000 hours by women, and the 35,000 hours by veterans. And if you average that out, he said it's $12,929.2929.
Oh, no. That has to be because, again, I am making reference, sir, to postings on the internet through cyber. My good friend Mr. King indicated that as but let me go back and take a look. As of January 31st, 2015, minorities alone have accounted for 312,000. 114 working hours of the 935,600 total project hours. That's 33.3% of the total hours that have been worked. I mean, these are the statements now being made in refuting the declaration and the story written by the powerful, largest paper in the state of Minnesota, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Again, these telephone lines are open. Lines are wide open.
Hey, buddy. Okay, I'll stop. Okay, let me just see here. Let me look down here. Yeah, Mr. Edwards, I mean, I'm really looking at that. I want to believe, you know, because I'm a believer. And I'm just looking at just that small section from this email that I received from their PR department. And they would have to actually walk me through this rationale of why, number one, they put it in this format. Number two, why the $29.7 million is there that has been paid to workers, and how that $29.7 million fits into the 734,534 hours of work. Because it's not – and I actually had a business guy look at this, and he said –
But see, that's where our friend Mr. Tittle, the director of diversity – as well as certainly we would welcome Ted Mondale, and we would welcome any other persons or members of the board to feel free to pick up the phone. We know that some of their friends are listening, and to break it down to us. Okay, now Mr. Allen, you are the electronic technician. I know that you're going to be posting these numbers that I've just given you that are on the websites. In a number of individuals posted by leadership in our community, and then we can let the mathematical geniuses and experts work it out. But, you know, at long last, we see the numbers. I mean, a leading minister has said that African Americans have taken $2.5 million to the bank already. And that Thor Construction, my good friend Richard Copeland, the owner of Thor Construction, the former husband of Roxanne Gibbons, has made already $25 million on the has been paid $25 million for their work on the stadium. $25
million. Oh, wow. Let me go back here. Again, the phone lines are open at 347-426-3904. 347-426-3904. If you're scared today, go to church on Sunday. I am looking for this, Mr. Edwards, and I just sent a message via electronic Facebook to Mr. Tittle and Ms. Kelm Hanglin, if they could, to please call in. I did it publicly on my page, and I will
all
text
right, then. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tittle and see if he could explain, if he'd be willing to, you know, to explain that, because I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm just
I mean, these numbers are important, and we now find our leadership is stepping up, if you will, to the plate. Of course, this is not like the situation with the baseball park. And by the way, what I would like to do, because my friend Mr. King and I have worked together. A lot of people would not think that, but he and I worked together in a situation a number of years ago in which Mr. King was being treated very poorly, very, very poorly, by the ballpark authority, if you will. And he and I came together, and as an outgrowth of some money that was initially taken away from him, I know that that Lewis well remembers this situation, in 2007, on the baseball park, $150,000 of the $186,000 was restored, and he began to develop a relation with M.A. Mortensen, because M.A. Mortensen was treating Mr. King very poorly, very, very poorly. And documentation of that can be found in the files of the county board and also the baseball authority board that was under the leadership of former council member at that time, Steve Kramer. And I can well remember the kind of pain that Lewis was going through as he was being treated very poorly. And the M.A. Mortensen now, who they are all very close with, was refusing to hire anybody from the African-American community, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And I can well remember a private meeting, and agreement was reached, and the details and facts of that situation were published. Yeah. And as I said, I think it was our good friend Peter McLaughlin made the motion to restore some of the money that had been taken away from OIC. And then the relationships changed, and they finished up the ballpark and everything. And, you know, according to the Star Tribune, about 35 people got hired.
Wow, 35. That wasn't bad, I guess.
I don't get into, you know, but it seems that we continue to have an absence of memory. One of the things I'd like to do is that our lines are also open to our good friend, State Senator Bobby Joe Champion, or co-chair June Rosen, who is the co-chair with Senator Champion. They are the head of the Legislative Commission on the Minnesota Sports Facility, if you will. And they have been in place since 2013, actually 2012, to tell the truth. And we have a number of representatives. In fact, on the Republican side, I think, Mr. Allen, one of your Republican friends, Representative Tim Kelly, is
okay.
A member of that committee, if you will, along with Representative Atkins, if you will, Hoppy. Representative Paul Anderson, if you will, on the House of Representatives side, and then Housley, Miller, Reinhardt, and Shera on the Senate side. Hey, there's a lot of folk that we're encouraging to just give us a call, you know, and
mm-hmm.
just confirm these numbers that are being now posted by leadership in our community, man. Again, that phone line is wide open.
Sure is. It's 347-426-3904. Get our number, 347-426-3904. Yeah, Mr. Lewis, I'm just kind of looking at this. I'm going to go over to the Star Tribune because it got really hostile.
Who did?
Over there. The Star Tribune website. Oh, my goodness. It was like you thought that, you know, they was out to lynch somebody behind this headline story on top of the fold, you know?
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my goodness, because it is the – let me find it here real quick. Most read.
By the way, while you're looking for that, then for those that always raise the question of authenticity and et cetera, I call attention to a article in a African-American newspaper on December 19, 2007. I would suggest that anyone that wants to question what we have said, to retrieve that from the archives of the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. It was the Minneapolis Spokesman Recorder at that time and St. Paul Recorder. Again, the date of the reflections on how poorly OIC and Mr. King were being treated, December 19, 2007. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. And included was a reflection on a meeting that was called involving M.A. Mortensen, then Civil Rights Director Michael Jordan, if you will, and they laid out details of the violations that were occurring, in which there was as an outgrowth of M.A. Mortensen's resistance to diversity and compliance. In fact, and I know my good friend will remember this, on November 21st, 2007, OIC spelled out to Steve Kramer the resistance, and it was reviewed, and the resistance by M.A. Mortensen to diversity. Now, what happened, you know, heads got together, if you will. There was also great concern about M.A. Mortensen's role on the Gopher football stadium, in which they did not have any African-Americans of any significant number working. There are documentation in the archives of the city attorney's office of the city of Minneapolis in that particular period, because Mr. King, my good friend Mr. King, had made a appeal and complaint, and in fact I actually on behalf of him had filed a civil rights complaint with the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, if you will. All that's on file against the Baseball Authority, if you will, M.A. Mortensen and others. So, you know, I can appreciate that Mr. King understands, you know, what happens if you don't get in line, if you will, position yourself, do the right thing. But there was a time when Mr. King was being treated very, very poorly, Mr. Allen and others in our listening audience, by M.A. Mortensen, by the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, and et cetera. And Mr. King took this to Chairman Steve Kramer of the Baseball Authority, if you will. See, I like to put documentation out there because people oftentimes talk about. And actually, last week we made brief mention for a purpose of a report on April 17, 2009, a little over 2 years after there was a coming together, if you will, a kind of coming to Jesus meeting. And we also would encourage people to take a look at the first quarter report of the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights Contract Compliance Unit report, first quarter 2008. I would suggest that even to Councilmember Yang, who is the chair of the Public Safety Committee, which the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department reports to. Councilman Yang was not yet an employee of the Department of Civil Rights, but I know he heard about some of this when he came aboard maybe a year and a half, a couple years later. This is documentation, Mr. Allen, that does show a troubling pattern in practice. But again, those phone lines are open, man. I was expecting we would be smothered by challenges and questions to us.
Yeah, you know, that's how it rolls. You know, it was very interesting, Mr. Edwards. This weekend, I was listening to a public radio station that actually told the black community that the only news sources for them were the public radio station and the two local black newspapers. They left out the African paper here in town. They left out, you know, NPR. They left out a lot of news agencies. And if the black community would listen to what they said on the air about.
And who was this entity? This was what organization was this?
This was the public radio station here.
If you don't want to get the call letters, but a public radio station here in the Twin Cities?
Mm-hmm. A black station. Okay. And they were very distinct in saying, yeah, this is the only place you need. And I'm saying, like, wow, if people really fall.
Oh, they were saying they were the only entity that you could come to for news.
Themselves and the two black newspapers. That was it. There was nothing else out there. And so I guess my point of this statement is, Mr. Edwards, if our black community would even be foolish enough to think that is the case, then we're in big trouble. We're in huge trouble because the people that are talking, a couple of them can't even read or write, for that matter. So we got big problems. We have someone on here, a caller on the air. Caller, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
I'm on?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm on. Well, gentlemen, this is Mr. M calling
in. M, how are you doing, sir? Observations and comments, please.
Well, a couple of things. You know, I was really, you know, I was kind of taken, it was kind of interesting to listen to you, Mr. Edwards, how you referred to, you know, Mr. King as one of your great friends. I thought that was very interesting. And he's a friend of a lot of people, I'm sure, in the community. But what I wanted to kind of quickly kind of get a quick inventory on some of the things that are going on and some of the things that have been in the news that have affected the black community. One, you know, what is the current status, you know, that you gentlemen may know? Either one could respond to this if you'd like to. The Community Action Agency, you know, that has been in the news, and I know that it had been shut down, and I know that one of the other organizations had taken it over.
The Hennepin County CAP Agency, as well as the Ramsey County CAP Agency. Let me just quickly go to the to your question. The status is that the Minneapolis Community Action Agency is now defunct, probably never to be refunded or raised up from the fires in the tradition of the Phoenix. Mr. Davis is under now federal investigation, according to stories in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. There's allegations, or it is alleged, that both the FBI and the Internal Revenue Service, known as the IRS, are now looking at a whole lot of documents. And what they're hinting at is the possibility of indictments.
Okay, so that organization really has been pretty much taken over by some of the surrounding agencies. Hopefully that the residents can still access.
Well, the state of Minnesota had no choice, because if there was not someone to manage the fuel assistance program, the state would have lost all of their fuel assistance money, and that would have included losing money for white folks, okay, in outstate Minnesota, and et cetera. So they moved very rapidly on that. When the Minneapolis CAP Agency was closed down, the state of Minnesota immediately ordered a quote-unquote operational plan to serve the population of the city of Minneapolis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it looks like, you know, at least they have an alternative plan while that gets sorted out. You know, hopefully that will. And I guess my next question would be, you know, and maybe Mr. Allen may be more, you know, averse to this particular question, the current status of the Minneapolis NAACP. Is it in existence? Are there officers? Are they meeting? Is there such an organization? Any comments that I could get on that, I would welcome, because I'm not in the loop there.
After several emails to the national NAACP and calling the executive director of the headquarter branch, it is unresolved if there is an NAACP in Minneapolis. There has not been notices sent out to more than two-thirds of the membership. I get emails all the time from people, have you gotten this? I know in the mail I got three membership cards. And so I must have three votes, but there's been no contact, because I've been seeing the Minneapolis NAACP showing up in news reports from the mainstream media.
Well, and I have too, and so that's why, you know.
Yeah, it puzzles me, because to take an action, as Mr. Edwards will confirm, to take an action of such depth, you need to fill out a form, contact the national, tell them what it is you want to do. So they are not liable for ignorant mistakes, you know. And so you have people using the acronym NAACP to buff up their image, when in fact, you know, there's not one white paper report, there's not one report in writing that I've seen as a current member in good standing. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned.
But does the organization, is there an office? Is there a phone number? Is there a way of contacting them? Is there a way? Do you have any information on that?
There's a number. Mr. Allen, you probably have it there on your Rolodex. There's a number of a facility where they say they're housed. It is a church in North Minneapolis. Yeah. There is no office any longer at Sabathany. If M, I think that's what you're kind of alluding to.
Well, yes, I had saw something mm-hmm. on their directory at one time that the NAACP may have been housed at Sabathany.
Right.
But.
Now, Mr. Allen, off air, can give you the telephone number for the state director of the NAACP. He is located in Rochester, Minnesota. And you can certainly call him and indicate that you may have some difficulty in getting a return call from the NAACP.
Well, Minneapolis is 10 times bigger than Rochester. I mean, I would think that Minneapolis would have more of a presence. Well, I guess that's
No. That's not the structure of the NAACP is interesting. The state conference is the dominant entity, and the local branches report to the state conference. At this time, the state conference president is located in Rochester, Minnesota.
Very interesting.
He resides there, and consequently everything falls through his office to the extent of any problems that you're having.
Okay. Well, very interesting. I really appreciate being enlightened on that, because that was somewhat of a mystery to me. And as Mr. Allen pointed out, I had saw references to the NAACP in various articles and, popping up from here and then, but I never saw any names or anything other than the acronyms themselves. So maybe it's just an acronym now. I don't know. But I guess my next question would be for you gentlemen, if I have a few more minutes.
Yes. But now I have to say this, Mr. Allen, I'm receiving text messages. We are being accused of keeping people on hold and not letting them through. And certainly that is not our policy. I've just received a text.
One more question, please, and
okay.
I'll defer.
Okay, then
yeah.
I'll go right ahead. And then I want to give you a particular date and article that you may want to take a look at. Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, well, my last one was on some of the Minneapolis Public Schools initiatives that I had been reading about. Some gentlemen by the name of Flowers and Hightower had received a lot of funding for an initiative, and I'm just wondering if you gentlemen had any update on the status of that initiative.
Reverend Hightower, who is also the executive director of the Washington County, Ramsey County CAP agency,
formerly the Urban League. Wasn't he assigned to the Urban League or associated with the Urban League at one point?
Oh, yeah. Prior to that position, he was for about 8 years the director, or as we call him now, the president of the Urban League of Minneapolis. Yes, that's the same Reverend Hightower.
Same one.
But he received a position as head of the powerful Ramsey County and Washington County CAP agency, a entity in operation similar to what Mr. Davis. But in the case of the Washington and Ramsey County, that was comprised of two counties. And the latest news accounts was that Reverend Hightower was going to provide a written report and clarification as it pertains to the CSI situation. You would have to make inquiry of the district and particularly the current interim superintendent, Mr. Gore, because
Mr. Gore.
I assume that report is in the files of the general counsel.
Okay. Very interesting.
All right. Now, let me just do this because, the question of my good friend, Louis King, I refer you, sir, to the December 19, 2007 edition of the Minneapolis Spokesman Recorder, and the headline is "The Stiffing of OIC, Louis King and Steve Kramer Betrayed." Okay? Read that and kind of give you an understanding of what I'm saying.
I will certainly do my research on that. And if I just, as a parting shot, I like to do kind of a where are they now. Does anyone know where a gentleman by the name of William English is now?
William English is working on the development of an industrial park, which is going to employ at least 3,000 African Americans in North Minneapolis. William English resides in the suburban city of Minnetonka, and so he's working on that industrial park along with Greg Taylor, who is the director of the Minneapolis Development Agency, and Dr. Robert Jones, who is now chancellor of the New York
formerly of the University of Minnesota.
Yes.
Dr. Robert Jones. So he's connected with that.
Mr. Taylor used to sing in the choir together.
Yes, certainly did. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, so we hope, sir, that we have responded appropriately to your inquiry, and please continue to call in.
This has tied me over until next week.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Mr. Allen, we seem to have a couple calls that people said they're being put on hold. Are we locked into the 9:30, or can we go a little bit longer, or what? I don't want anyone to say we're shutting them down.
I will try. I think we are locked in tonight at 9:30. But yeah, I did see the person who called, and I did text them, tell them to call back. But they could hear someone talking, it wasn't blocking them at all. They just hear someone talking. When that person gets done, we can go to the next caller.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
okay. We got 4 minutes left?
Yes, we do.
But if we have anybody holding Mr. Allen, let's get them in. They have about a minute. We will give them a minute because this program has been open. The phone lines have been open since 8:35.
No, we have someone in the queue, but they've been holding for a while, and I went there twice already, and that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, it looks like we've got a chore. We assume, let me just say this, Mr. Allen, we assume as the Ron and Don program that we should be able to have authentication of all the numbers that are being posted on social media.
We got the caller back.
Okay, let's go. Caller, go right ahead.
Who's calling? You're live on the air.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes,
yeah.
You are.
Hi, Don, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Well, you know that was me that said that on the radio. I stand by what I said. I think that we should be listening to our black radio station and our black news, reading our black newspapers. In fact, I read every article Mr. Edwards puts in the Spokesman Recorder. I read
every article
in Insight.
That's beautiful.
I even read your blog.
You're
so
kidding.
I stand by that. I think we need to get some of our information from our black media and not always from the white media. Don't try to put crying on me.
Okay. What else do you have to say? Hello?
I think our caller has departed. Was that you, Mr. Alvin, crying or what?
No, yeah, I was, you know, I don't, that was the
oh,
baby
okay.
with the back.
Let us say this again to our listening audience. We never want to close anybody down, but, you know, we open the phone lines at approximately 8:31. We say that time and time again. This is going to be ongoing because we would hope that the last caller is example and others would be calling us to find out if we've been able to authenticate all these numbers. I mean, these are some heck of a numbers. This has been a revelation, if you will, in the context of, you know, the scripture. with this kind of employment going on, the kind of money that is being made by African Americans, I mean, Thor Construction, one of the largest, actually, Mr. Allen, one of the largest African American owned corporations in the United States, at $25 million alone on the stadium project.
Congratulations.
Absolutely in order. In fact, Robbie Norman, who is the managing partner for Mr. Richard Copeland, could feel free to join us next week.
That'd be
and
nice.
Just talk
That'd
about
be.
How well that worked.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, man, $25 million. They've been paid already. Yep. Well,
that's
Don, looks like we're coming,
yes,
coming
we are.
Down
yes,
to the to the end of tonight's program. And, you know, maybe we can hear from Mr. Tittle. But the key is, as I understand it, the Star Tribune will be making a correction with all this, with all these numbers now being made available, right?
Yeah. Well, I hope I can read it tomorrow morning when I get up. So.
If not tomorrow, definitely for Friday or Saturday's paper.
I agree.
Yes, sir. All right, Mr. Allen. Hey, man, let James Brown take us on home, baby.